my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
What to say... Good friend, it all goes to pot when we watch these movies. The hate runs through. So I said last week I was on a bit of a meander. I was just checking out some god awful movies. I thought I've got to throw something in the mix, and obviously we did The Ultimate Weapon, you know, Hulk Hogan on Prime, and there's loads of different, like, these sort of TNT movies Hogan did when he was at WCW wrestling, obviously part of his deal when he left WWF. And I came across this one that had been on Prime, but they've gone, fuck that for a game of soldiers. We're not even charging anybody. We can't give this away. It's on YouTube fully in all its glory, Dave. So we are going back to 1997. And for some reason, I want to talk about the title, but it's called Shadow Warriors Assault on Devil's Island, Dave. And it stars Mr. Terry Jean Belair, Hulk Hogan, Carl Weathers, the titillating Shannon Tweed, Dave, Billy Drago, Martin Cove, and Billy Blanks, Dave. Oh, and Trevor Goddard, who I want to speak about as well. So, Dave, I'd never seen this before. This was a complete Chris Phelps fucking stitch up. Anything you want to say about this movie?
I don't know, Chris. I don't know where you get these movies from, apart from searching for some fucking terrible movies. But you know what strikes me, though? Hulk Hogan has looked the same for about fucking 40 years. Basically, here we have, I say, the reconnection of Apollo Creed and, God rest his soul, Carl Weathers there, and Hulk Hogan, or Thunderlips from Rocky III. But, of course, they never were in the same scenes together, were they? But, you know, Hulk Hogan, he just looks the fucking same. Was he just born like that? Like, if you could see his school photographs, is he just the same? Maybe without the tash. I don't know. So it's a bit weird to see him in this. And you can tell, I think I saw, bit of a weird one, Chris, but I used to love Muppets from Space. I thought it was quite funny at the time, and Hulk Hogan made a small appearance in that, and he was like, oh, I'm a bad guy now. I remember thinking, oh, what the fuck's going on there? Because I dropped out of wrestling really a few years before this one. I think the late 80s, 90, that was kind of my heyday with the wrestling, where I was, you know, watching as much as I could. But yeah, clearly his whole storyline took a bit of a darker turn. And so here, it seems like he's not being the goofy kind of Hulk Hogan, you know, over-the-top wrestler in this one. He's trying to be this, like, weird martial artist, this spiritual Zen master or something. But it's not played for hammy action at all, is it? It's intended to be quite serious, this one. And so it just... This is a blind spot in my kind of adjacent wrestling kind of watching career.
Well, I don't think it's a bad one that you didn't watch it first time round, Dave, but...
No.
What I would say is reading up on it. So when I mean, we'll get into the movie, but what's confusing with it, if anyone's going to watch it, like I say, it's on YouTube, is it says in the open credits, Shadow Warriors 2. And you're like, well, hang on a minute, where's the fucking first one? Is it in the same fucking thing as Ultimate Weapon? Is, you know, it's a different character. And apparently, this is how fucking bad things were. They labelled it a sequel, but the second movie, which is called Assault on Devil's Mountain or something like that, that's not even a prequel, but that's called Shadow Warriors Oh, Death Mountain, it's called. So everybody, they said loads of like film source, like websites, information, really struggle with like, it's not like Indiana Jones, you know, like where you've gotten the second one's the prequel, isn't it? And all that. It's a lost out, whatever it is. But with this, it's not. So it's like, everyone's like, what the fuck's going on? Like, so, you know, Shadow Warrior 2, Assault Devil's Island. So I kept thinking, at one point I was watching this movie thinking, but mate, am I watching the same movie and Dave's watching a different movie? You know, like, because I kept checking the cast and thinking, well, and Billy Drago, Billy Drago can't be in two movies, you know what I mean? So, no, but apparently it was just some weird way of framing the movie. So I saw it on Death Mountain's the second one, which we'll probably do at some point, Dave, but it's not even a prequel, so... Bizarre, but there you go.
It is bizarre. It is bizarre this one had a prequel, or sequel, rather. I mean, it cost $4 million. What I'd say, I don't know, is this as bad as Ultimate Weapon? I think this, there's something, like it's tried to be a bit more serious, this one. But I'm not necessarily saying better, but you can see there's a bit more of a serious tone. And you're probably reading the same thing as I was, that, you know, they were looking to spin off some kind of TV show from this. But I guess, because this is a straight-to-video job, I guess the sales didn't demand that. But, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it almost has that kind of A-team feel to it as well, doesn't it? Only it's in the 90s, not the 80s.
Yeah, even the graphics are the 80s. You're waiting for that Stephen J. Cannella, right, at the A-team to throw the paper at the end. You remember, used to be on the timeline. At the end, you just say, everything about it screams the A-team. But anyway, Dave, shall we get into the trailer?
Let's go.
No fear. No rules, no equal. Meet the Masters.
So what's it gonna be, huh? We have a team here or what?
Let's move.
An ex-Navy SEAL whose temper is dynamite.
Follow me.
An undercover expert who's always dressed to kill.
Nothing to it but to do it.
A demolition ace who's got a talent for destruction.
This is a covert operation.
We are being held hostage.
Devil's Island is a fortress.
The only way in is underwater.
The team's dead.
When the government has a job they can't handle,
this calls for decisive action.
They call the experts.
I need your help.
I am not going back into that jungle.
Sure you are.
No, I'm not.
You know you are. You always do.
We're not landing until I see the hostages.
Can you see her? Safe and sound.
Men die in our business. That's our business.
The time is right now.
You won't see them. You won't hear them. But when innocent lives are at stake,
she will die a slow death.
And terrorists are in control.
Get out!
Somebody's gotta take charge.
Move.
Terry Hulk Hogan, Shannon Tweed, Carl Weathers, fighting for everyone who can't fight back.
Duck.
Assault on Devil's Island.
A Navy SEAL team headed by Mike McBride and Roy Brown launches an assault on the compound of kingpin Carlos Galindo, who is about to close a drug deal with a mysterious blonde woman. During the attack on Galindo and his men, McBride is betrayed by Fraker, an Australian operative who's supposed to act as a UN observer on the mission, but secretly turned coat after being promised a $2 million bribe. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, this, you were saying before the trailer, it's like a serious movie. For me, this was a comedy, Dave, because I knew full well that somewhere 200 miles away from me, my good friend is going, Chris is a bellend, absolute bellend. So there is no real plot to this movie at all. Hogan starts off doing some fucking Tai Chi bollocks with this tattoo. You can click him and he looks in great shape. This is when I'd say Hogan was in WCW was at his peak physical fitness, and then in the WWF when he came back in 2003, I think he looked amazing. He obviously taking his vitamins again, but you'd always had that when he was always carrying a little bit of weight. One, his arms had always been massive, but he was never. But he looked shredded in this. You can see he's dropped some weight.
But sorry to cut across here, but you've mentioned to me before, I've heard about this in other like avenues and whatever. There was a thing with the WWF, was it, or the WWE, I don't know if it converted from that time, where the steroids was becoming undeniable, and so people were coming off them. You know, after years and years of taking them, like people like the Ultimate Warrior suddenly was like fucking half the size, you know. And so what do you reckon's happened there? Because that was in the earlier 90s, wasn't it? I can't quite remember.
Yeah, so it was 91. So 91, 92, the court case was on, and Hogan, around 92 WrestleMania 8, after that, Warrior came back, saved him against with Papa Shango and Sid. He's fighting Sid Justice, Dave, Psycho Sid, and Papa Shango comes down randomly, and then the Warrior comes back, and that's when everyone thought the Ultimate Warrior was a completely different person, because this court case was going on, and McMahon was going to get done for basically peddling drugs. So what they did was, Hogan dropped loads of weight, he was dead slim, he then went into WCW, and then what... This is just me reading. I'm not saying he did, but whatever. Not like he's going to fucking listen to this. But what they did was they got doctors to prescribe them, Dave, and I'm air quoting. And this has gone on for a long time where they have a prescription for, like, you know, like our age. We know, and I know that as a 45-year-old man, your testosterone levels drop. It's one of the reasons I keep trying to do weights. You're the same. We always look after it because you've got to keep your testosterone up, because that's why you end up with like, your bone density, stuff like that. You know, it's an untreated thing in the UK, whereas in America, they're all fucking, a lot of like ex-sports people who've got money, really. They're on testosterone replacement, but it is a genuine thing because your testosterone, if it's below 12, you should be on testosterone enhancers, but they won't prescribe the NHS. I'm on a right rabbit hole now. But my personal training side is coming out there. That's one thing I've got knowledge on. But Hogan here... It's gone from 93 when he moved from WWF to WCW 94, and he was dead slim and everything. And he's still slim, but he can see that he's a massive guy. You know, Carl Weathers looks big to Stallone in Rocky, and then you look at him, Hogan's on a completely different level to Carl Weathers. But Carl Weathers looks phenomenal. Carl Weathers is about 50 here. He looks fucking unbelievable. And Hogan's 44 when they're doing this movie. Like you were saying about... He's never aged. It's ridiculous because he's the same age as me, pretty much in this. He looks about fucking 30 years older than me, Dave. That's obviously my opinion. But he was definitely taking his vitamins. You know, you look at a guy called, you know, Scott Steiner in WCW towards the late 90s. Fuck me, Dave. He looked like a professional bodybuilder. His arms, big popper pump. He was on all sorts of fucking narcotics to get to that level. And they were all the same. Because he'd left the WWF, he's with WCW. So he's not under Vince McMahon. It's one of the reasons he left as well, because they fell out. Hogan's character was waning. There wasn't the appeal. And he was supposed to go against McMahon and actually testify. You know what I mean? And he basically got McMahon off, really. But yes, there was a massive problem with all this. He's been on stuff. He's still on now. He's 70 years old. Looks phenomenal. He's definitely on, he probably won't be on steroids, but he's on testosterone replacement or something, I would have thought, which is pretty similar anyway. But yeah, you don't get 70 years old and still have them 24-inch pythons, Dave. Don't care who you are.
But I mean, it's clearly rampant though, isn't it? I mean, you look at the fucking Rock. You know, it's ridiculous.
50 got bigger.
Yeah. He's just suddenly getting bigger and bigger. But, you know, when we talked about Blade 3 and Ryan Reynolds, it was like, oh yeah. He's just going like 5 hours a day in the gym and just hammering it. It's like, yeah, it doesn't work that way.
No.
Not without some special enhancements. But I was just curious because, like you say, he does looks very good here. You say he's what, 44 in this?
44. Yeah.
So how 44. Old? I mean, in Rocky 3,
he would have been late 20s. He would have been late 20s. He was about 28, I think. Somewhat like. He was born 1953, so in Rocky 3, 28 he would have been. So it's mad.
Me.
I know, it's mad, isn't it? I mean, Carl Weathers is 5 years older than Hogan, so he was 49 in this, and he looks fucking brilliant in this.
Yeah, but you can tell he's a lot older, can't you? I think Hogan's just got the same face. And again, the kind of the enhancements, like sort of broaden out the jaw and all that sort of stuff, don't they? Yeah, but I don't know, fucking bizarre. But anyway, yeah, I just don't know if I buy him, though, as this fucking Kung Fu master, you know, like you say, at the beginning, doing all his Tai Chi and everything. And the thing that stood out for me, actually, was a weird thing, but Fraker, I'm like, that voice, I recognize that somewhere. And this is another one, Chris, where you stumble across these movies and you've actually covered this actor before in something. But we did Mortal Kombat, where Trevor Goddard played Kano.
Yeah.
That voice, you just can't mistake it, can you? I mean, it says he's Australian, but it's some sort of weird Dick Van Dyke Australian.
Well, Dave, I went down a Trevor Goddard rabbit hole, and he is actually English, Dave. He's from Surrey. Oh, but he was renowned for this Australian accent. I'm like you, I question it. I'm like, okay, fair enough. But he was a 60-1 light heavyweight fighter, Dave. 60 fights he won. So he's not with us now, unfortunately. He passed away in 2003, but I'm never going to tell him, Dave. I thought he was a rugby player, an Australian rugby player. And then the accent sort of wanes off then, and you're like, nah, I think he might be English. But and I wouldn't have fought with him, Dave. I think he would have took Hogan straight out there. Big bloke.
Yeah, definitely. But you say fighter, but fighter in what? Like
boxing? Right, yeah, boxing, right. Like heavyweight. 60-1 was his record, pro record.
He's gone quite early there, hasn't he? Born in 62.
Yeah.
41.
Yeah, 41. It was a, unfortunately, it was a drug-related thing, apparently.
Right,
sad.
Right. That's a shame.
Yeah. But sorry, I didn't mean to bring
it down.
Take
it down there.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't rip into him now. I hadn't noticed that he'd passed.
Yeah. No, we can, Dave. We can. But
yeah.
But I do think you're right. It starts off and like Frank is there and they're on the plane. You know straight away it's a classic DNA. There's no real story why they're going to this island, really. And then it's like they're all on the plane with knives and he pulls a knife on him, doesn't he? And all like, oh, sorry, mate. It's just a bit fucking nervous or whatever, you know, and all this shit. And then that was with Ray Winston, Dave. But then fucking, like you say, Mike McBride, Hogan, he's got, you know, not only is reverse genetics, even though his face looks like a fucking old boot, his fucking hair's reversed as well. Why would he wear a wig? Just shave it off for the movie.
To be fair, on Wig Watch, I mean, I would say this wig is slightly better than the one on the Arnie wig on Ultimate Weapon.
Yeah.
I think that was worse than this one. So I kind of gave him a little bit of a pass. But I'll tell you what, I was thinking that, fucking hell, this is where Wolverine Origins got this from 9 years later. The whole helicopter scene, the little bit of banter before the mission and that. I mean, it's probably been done a thousand times in other movies, but there was something about the way this was shot and everything just made me think Wolverine Origins.
Dave, no fucking way as someone from Warner Brothers or whoever. I know.
What was a writer's strike on, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Jew, come and have a look at this movie we found with Hulk Hogan. But no, it has been done before. I agree. That's a very good callback that, Dave, actually. It does. It's very similar, isn't it? When you got Ryan Reynolds and all them on the plane, Will I Am. Yeah, fucking hell. That is. I mean, I've said it and I've watched the movie and I've gone, that's like, and you're going, fuck off. There's no way that is like some major movie years later they took inspiration. But people watch silly things. And what's weird is, obviously, Billy Drago, what gets me the credits, it says special appearance by Billy Drago or Drago. And we get introduced to Shannon Tweed, who, Dave, like I said it last week, I've watched many a movie with Shannon Tweed in, Dave. I don't think she's in any of the Emmanuel movies. Classic porn throwback, but she's been in a few things I've watched, shall we say, over my time. But you know straight away she's got something about her. She's in good shape. She's got an amazing body. But you never get it really where the woman who's like undercover sleeps with someone. But oh no, she goes fully in, don't she, Dave? She like gets Drago this deal and she gets him in a fucking, gets her legs wrapped around him. And then she does, we get the fucking breasticles come out. I was like, oh, really? Oh, I'm liking this. I'm thinking, I bet fucking Hogan's been in her trailer having a chat. But honestly, very bizarre. And her weapons, she was the ultimate weapon in this, Dave, because at any point she just got a kit off to fucking entice people.
Fuck me. Yes, she did. But if you think about it, Chris, I mean, you're right. It does seem weird to see that play out on the big screen, but this never made the fucking big screen at all. Never got anywhere near. But it is weird to see that. But it's just... it's like James Bond does it, and we're all fine with it. It's fine for the guy to do it. It should be okay for the woman to do it as well. And, you know, the way it played out on screen, I'm all for it.
Fuck off, you going all finger. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But no, when the boobs come out, it's like, oh, fuck me. I mean, you know, they know what they're going for. And it's almost as if, I don't know what it is, it's almost as if they've got this kind of Vaseline smear on the screen when she comes on there, you know, like the proper Playboy type fucking effects and what have you. But, I mean, it was ridiculous, wasn't it? And again, you probably read this before, but Billy Blanks was apparently her trainer in kickboxing. That's what the trivia tells us. Now I'm thinking, fuck off. It was fucking Tybo, wasn't it? We all remember the adverts. It was fucking Tybo. I'm not having that Shannon Tweed was in fucking... you know, in the ring, getting fucking hell beaten out.
Fucking hell, babe. Where were you going there with that?
No, I don't know. I was actually thinking about kickboxing. I don't know what you were thinking about. But, but yeah, and I can't, I mean, should have spent at least a fucking couple of those Tybo lesson money subs on Russian accent lessons or something, because the accent was terrible.
Yeah, I think when she gets introduced, it could have been straight out of the Playboy movies that I may have seen across Dave in my past, you know what I mean? But it's weird, isn't it? Because Fraker, you can tell there's an edge to him, you can tell something's going on, but like Mike ends up like getting double crossed. You can clearly see him and Fraker together. He goes to get dragged. He's like, oh, it's Navy SEALs, you know, like he's some fucking Nostradamus. And then Fraker takes Mike out and it's like, oh, there's the double cross. But Fraker's motives are just nonsense. He's literally just become the bad guy from nowhere. He's not Bennett, like out of Commando, you know what I mean? And just turned. He's just... it don't make any sense that bit. I mean, fuck it. I'm saying that. None of this fucking move. Because... movie makes sense. And the one thing I'd say, Dave, it did remind you of our good friend John Hammond's For Your High Only, because obviously all they had was an A-team ripoff of two fucking bars of music, which is played through the whole fucking movie. And if you watch this in the gym like I did, Dave, when I did 20 minutes on the bike and I'm doing a bit of fucking weights and that, it gets fucking annoying because he's just going... all the way fucking through. Yeah, exactly. It's just, this is like another one of these 18 movies with a couple of bits of blood here and there just to differentiate. But this could have been straight off the set of a daytime TV show, 100%.
Yeah. And I, like I say, for me, it was attempting a more kind of serious tone than Ultimate Weapon. But some of it was fucking nonsense. When after that bit where you get the double cross, you know, for reasons, and you get Shannon Tweed coming out, and he's going to cut off, you know, Mike's head. You know, he's not just going to kill him, not just a bullet in the back of the head. No, that's too easy. He's going to chop off his head. But then Hunter, as she's called, somehow flicks a broom, which stops a full-force machete fucking hack. It stops him cutting Hogan's head off, and like then all fucking hell breaks loose, and then they escape. But it was one of those, I had to rewind it. I was trying to work out the physics, like, of someone coming down with a massive machete and you just kicking a broom towards Mike and it's stopping somehow the machete. I was just That was the comedy moment of this film for me, Chris.
Well, Dave, my comedy moment was, we talked about the last episode about jumping the shark, Dave, and I nearly got caught out. Well,
these little lemon sharks.
Yeah, the sharks. You know, shark-infested waters. I'm like, are we watching Batman 66 now? And then it's like, they've got Billy, they've got Drago, aren't they? Galinda, Carlos. And Mike's got him over his shoulder at this point. But Fraker's like trying to catch him. But the hunter goes, no, follow me. He's got these things underwater. So he's a prisoner. Drago, Galinda, I'll call him, sorry. His character name. So somehow Mike must have him on his shoulder while they're under the fucking water in the diving gear and everything. And they're trying to escape. And when we get to the shark fight, fuck me. I mean, one of them takes one for the team, don't they? But it is literally Batman 66, isn't it? It's literally like the worst thing I've ever seen. They're not any bigger than a fucking tuna or something. You can get big tunas, but they're like a fucking tuna or a salmon or something, aren't they? It's fucking nonsense.
I mean, to be fair, I wouldn't fancy doing a bit of paddling with them. But, you know, I don't know. There was just something not very threatening about them. And then, to be fair, I mean, I would imagine that's a bit of a risky stunt to do. You know, they're fucking sharks, aren't they, at the end of the day? It's still give you a bit of a nibble. But, yeah, it was just a bit weird. You know, you used to see in Jaws, this massive fucking great white that's genuinely threatening. What was the other one? Deep Blue Sea that we watched. You know, fucking yes. Mutated intelligent sharks. And yeah, to be fair, I don't know if it's a budget thing, but they just have these little, what looked to me like lemon sharks or something. And then obviously nibbling at the something that they've got on their back there. But, yeah, I mean, the thing is, though, Chris, after that, he's just got a bit of a nibble on his side there and had a shark tooth still in him.
Yeah. Which he keeps. It's fucking nonsense what I've done to you here, Dave. Because when they get back to the base, we get introduced to Martin Cove, don't we? You know, Andy Power. So I'm thinking he's going to be in it with Fraker here. He's going to be a baddie. You know, we know he's just good as a baddie. We've covered him in a few other like B movies after Karate Kid, and he's always the bad guy, isn't he? You know, Sensei Kreese and that. So, but he's not in this, which is bizarre, but he's that hard ass, like, you know, he's sort of against Mike in a little bit. He has the meeting with the table of all his commanders, and they're like, you know, because it's like he's not sure all the way through this. Is he playing it for good, or is he just, he's so like doing his job down the line? But Mike, obviously, Mike's a fucking, you know, he'll go out on his own and that. But when they get back to the camp, and Hunter's there, and the interview's on, it's like, you know, she saved him and all this. And Mike's like, yeah, I quit, Andy, I quit. What's happened to you? And he goes off. And it's when you've got Carl Weathers, Shannon Tweed, and Hogan back sort of on the island, and this fucking like Apache helicopter comes and starts shooting at him. And then they've got no weapons at all. And Mike just goes, he says, well, what are we going to fire back at him? And all these guys come down with like Navy SEALs with the gear on. Get whatever you want. So Shannon Tweed's got like a fucking straw out of a drink, and it's now a fucking ninja dart. I'm thinking, why don't you just take the guns off him? Carl Weathers does like a karate move on this guy. His gun's there, and he's the gun specialist, explosive specialist. He doesn't take his gun. Shannon Tweed does the same. Hogan does the same. They kill him, but they don't take their guns. And I'm like, but why wouldn't you take the guns? And there was at least four times where Shannon Tweed, if you watch it, I don't know if you watch it again, the stunt woman literally gets shot. Hogan puts his arm over her when they fall over, and then bullets definitely hit them, you know, because it's a massive fucking like M16 fucking thing on the side of the helicopter. It's bullshit, honestly. It's fucking nonsense. But
the shot and the bullets would ruin that bra for sure. Okay.
Oh, wish it would, Dave, but there you go.
Maybe it'll be like, what was it, Star Wars, the second one, Attack of the Clones, where Natalie Portman gets a slash across the stomach, just enough to take the flimsy material off to expose a midriff.
Yeah.
Make it look really sexy. But yeah, I mean, Shannon Tweed, I don't know what her contract looked like, but basically it must have had every opportunity to just get your kit off.
Yeah.
Even when she's going to distract the bloke you know, we're led to believe. I mean, she's, like I say, this James Bond-type spy. She's part of the Navy SEALs. She can hold her own there. But, yeah, I'm going to distract this bloke. I'm just going to take my top off. And actually, you know what? After we've done with him, I'm not even going to put it back on. I just kind of – I quite like this, just running around in my bra while I'm fucking shooting people, look.
Karate kicks. Yeah.
Well, again, a bit of fucking Ty Bo in action there. But speaking of which, you know, he does show up later because you do get through. And it's a weird one, really, because like you say, you got fucking Kreese in there, you got Billy Blanks, and you're like, fucking hell, this is going to be a massive like ensemble cast. But they play pretty small roles, really, don't they? Old Martin Cove and Billy Blanks. I mean, Billy Blanks sort of shows up at the end for this kind of fight that, I don't know what it was about it, but it just didn't really feel like it had any weight. It went on for ages, like fucking Peter Griffin and the chicken or something. But I don't know, it wasn't a memorable fight scene for me.
No, and I agree with that, because the whole thing's set up really for Hogan v. Fraker, isn't it? That's the fight. That's like the fight. The jeopardy would have been Billy Blanks maybe fighting against Shannon Tweed or Carl Weathers, maybe.
You know, like just,
They were the supporting cast, because it's not like, say, King of the Kickboxers, where he is the main baddie. He's killed his brother. You know, at some point they're going to have to fight again, aren't they? You know, good old Lauren and that. But I think with this, he's sort of like, in some respects, he's just backing Fraker up all the way through, and you don't really show him doing any moves. It's not like he's killed some of his own soldiers because they've been a bit insubordinate, which you've seen some of these moves like, I don't fuck around. This guy, you know, Fraker's an hard bastard, but this guy's nails. And you're right, the fight with Hogan, it goes on for about 15 minutes. And I'm like, I don't fucking care. I mean, what's really bizarre is, so I watched before to that fight, that bit about Shannon Tweed was the best ever. Where they obviously there's a gymnastics team who've been kidnapped from nowhere. Some of the worst acting we've ever seen.
But gymnastics team who are flying somewhere, but are in their full gymnast gear.
Yeah. And I was just thinking.
And we're not just going to put him in a prison. A prison half submerged in water because we're arseholes.
With a bomb as well. Yeah, with a bomb. But you're right. And what got me was, though, that scene where they're trying to get him. So you've got like Carl Weathers, Shannon Tweed. They're the ones who are tasked with trying to get the gymnasts out while Mike is fighting with Billy. But she thought there's a bloke there minding him who's submerged in water about 2 foot of water with a gun. She just comes out in this fucking outfit, almost Salma Hayek levels in fucking Dust Till Dawn. Black bra, fucking G-string, fucking, she's got, let's say, high heels on, goes, "Hi, I've come down to give you a bit of relief," or something like that. And the guy just like mesmerized, like he's doing on the old snake charmer, Dave. Like, I'm not saying I wouldn't have been, because she's absolutely stunning, but you're like, he knows that there's a massive war going on all over. And she says, like, "Fraker sent me down to fucking look after you," or some stupid line. I'm like, the guy would know.
All the bullets going on outside. This is not weird at all.
Exactly. He must have been warned about this blonde woman who Drago had had a bit with at the start. But oh no, this sexy blonde comes down and he just stands there while she fucking levers him. You know, not levering him in a good way. But getting back to the fight, Hogan and him, Billy Blanks, fight for ages. And what makes me piss is it's all set up for Mike to save the day, but his team saved the day while he's fucking around fighting Billy Blanks all over this castle. And he's like, eventually he does a B.A. Baracus and throws him over, doesn't he? Which from nowhere. And he does the old, he sounded like Thunderlips. Then he goes, "Rawr!" You know, and he throws him like the Hulk. But they've saved the day and done the whole rescue while he's just fucking stroking his ego, having this one-on-one fucking macho fight. Oh, it's an awful fight, Dave. It really, even Billy Blanks, who's a trained professional kickboxer, he can't save Hogan because he's fucking absolutely shocking.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. There's something about the choreography of it, the editing, the way it was put together, the fact that, like you say, his team are fucking taking names across, you know, the whole of the rest of the island, and he's just having this one-on-one fight for ages. It does seem weird, and you're right. I think having Carl Weathers, you know, who was 30 days away from retirement, by the way, you know, go up against Billy Blanks, I think that would have been a better matchup, you know, or even Shannon Tweed against him, you know, Hunter. So having, yeah, it just seemed weird. You're right. Fraker was the one, really. He was the one who double crossed him. He knocked him out at the start, you know. So he and obviously some of his men got killed as well, you know, ruthlessly by Fraker. So yeah, he should have been the one that there should have been this massive fight with.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm reading now, Dave, fucking Hogan's wigs cost $5,000, because he's a great scene where they're supposed to have been underwater, aren't they? And everyone else is all wet. You know, you're like Carl Weathers, Shannon Tweed. They've got like the fucking, you know, the thingy suits on, the proper like diving suits on and all that shit. And then Hogan just goes, oh, like a Timotei advert with his hair. And it's like, you've not been anywhere near the fucking water. Your fucking wig would fall off there, fucking Terry. But it's weird, isn't it? Because I can see what they're going for. And it is a TV movie. It was the sort of thing, apparently, they released it after WCW was on. So obviously, a Friday night and that, right, they'd release the film. So they'd have a show on and Hogan would be doing his wrestling bit. And then it'd be like, oh, and we've got this, because it was the Ted Turner Network. And this is why Hogan was one of the biggest driven things, because it was a massive coup when they got him from the WWF in 94. But it's really fucking poor. And like you say, Hogan, for me, Hogan's going to be, he's better. If he's in these movies, he'd be better as a baddie. He's never, you never really take to him as a good idea. Thunderlips, like being an arse and playing into the, leaning into the wrestling. Like The Rock's doing something similar now. We've got WrestleMania 40 coming. And The Rock has come back. He's Jesus now on the, Christ. Yeah, honestly, he's 50 odd, but he's on the board, the WWE now. Vince McMahon's been kicked out quite rightly for all the fucking horrible stuff that he's allegedly done. So he's been booted out completely, but he's on the board and all this stuff. But he's come back in and wants to fight at WrestleMania. Well, Dave, the whole of like social media, everything has just gone crazy, saying like, fuck him off, blah, 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 you know, and all this. They've really turned on himself. And being he was a baddie when he came into it, a heel when he first came into the wrestling pro. He was a goodie, and then he was a baddie because he was just too soft and too like vanilla. His character was just like too like 1980s, you know, good guy slapping all the hands and all that shit as they run to the ring. And then he went as The Rock, and you know, and then that's how he became the character of The Rock. Well, he's now leaning into being a wanker. He did this 20-minute promo yesterday, which I watched, Dave, which was brilliant. And he's been on the wrestling, but they think he's going to turn at WrestleMania. It's his cousin who's the champ. But obviously, it's all rigged. But I think The Rock, because they're all slagging off his movie career now, you know, saying like he's fucking bombed this. That's why he's gone back to wrestling, all the things he's been doing. He did this thing in Hawaii when they had like the atrocities there, him and Oprah, and it just ended up coming across as a really sort of, look at me, I've done a wonderful thing. And I don't think he meant that, because he grew up in a Hawaii family, but it come across really like Hollywood. So a lot of people have turned on him, but he's playing a baddie again, Dave. And I tell you what, that's where if I was The Rock's agent, or he probably controls his own destiny now, I'd be like, I think we need to lean into me being an arrogant arsehole. Maybe more what he really is, because he can't be that nice all the time. He seems like a good guy, but it's... So I think Hogan would have... parallel to this is Hogan would have been better being the bad guy, I think, and leaning into that and getting a proper actor against him, because he's so big, it's ridiculous. It's like when we watch Dolph Lundgren in some of his movies where he's a goodie, and he's fucking like that fucking when we
towering over everyone
he's
else
massive. Yeah, Hogan's I mean, Hogan makes Carl Weathers look like Sylvester Stallone against Drago, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's massive, Hogan, and Carl Weathers is about 6'1". He looks tiny compared to Hogan, you know, just in height and everything. And Shannon Tweed's almost as tall as Carl Weathers, and it
she's
just
a tall lady, actually, isn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah. I mean, when she got older, Billy Drago at the start, fuck me, he looks like a fucking midget, doesn't he? You know what I mean? Like, he's...
I don't think you can say that.
Sorry. a vertically challenged person, but yeah, it's just my...
I'm just thinking of The Office fucking opening scene. What about an elf?
They're not real, are they?
Oh, dear. But I don't know, Chris, if I've got much else to say about this. I think it tails off quite poorly. I think the... Well, I don't know which act was good, but I thought the third act was just, you know, lots of explosions, lots of shooting, lots of Shannon Tweed walking around with hardly anything on, you know, all the things you want in an action movie, but just done in a quite a poor way. I will say, after, you know, we've had a couple of wrestling tangents. We do keep threatening, don't we, to reignite wrestling gold now that all of the the Royal Rumbles and the WrestleManias and stuff are on YouTube. So we'll do maybe some watch alongs there and just have to find the time in the calendar. But Chris, I mean, have you got any other points? So obviously they win the day, they go off in that kind of, you know, almost like A Few Good Men or something, you know, they're walking off, aren't they? And that's where I think it's obvious, like, okay, this is going to be, you know, some kind of series. That's how they're teeing it up. But yeah, I won't be watching the sequel anytime soon, I've got to say.
You say that, Dave. You say that. But anyway,
maybe a month from now.
No, honestly, I am done. It's unbelievable. I think we should just get into the result. The results? Get into our scores, Dave.
Let's go.
So, Dave, it didn't have the effect I thought it would have on you, because I think you're now sort of battle scarred and fucking, you've got that like a boxer. You've got that attack on your skin is just like leather now, because you're just used to me throwing in these.
Like Hulk Hogan's steroid needle scarred ass.
Allegedly, yes. Anyway, for me, Dave, this is an atrocious movie. Like, it's so fucking annoying. If anyone listening is going to watch it with earphones on, God help you, because it fucking pissed me right off, Dave. Honestly, it really did. But it's just worth it for the wig, Shannon Tweed. We all, you know, liked a bit of that, Dave, when we were, you know, younger. Well, even mid-40s, Dave, I was quite happy. When you said about the Vaseline on the screen, I'm not sure, but what was on the screen? But Carl Weathers is wasted in this. You know, I felt dead sorry for him watching this, because you're thinking, you've gone from Rocky IV. I know that was the peak. You did Action Jackson, and you know, obviously, he was brilliant in, what's it called? The Golf one, Dave. Happy Gilmore, Predator. But he was always like a co-star, wasn't he, really? Action Jackson, a couple of other movies that he never took off as him as the lead, unfortunately. But great character, obviously, Mandalorian, you know, God rest his soul, brilliant character in that. But yeah, just wasted. It's just like, he's just like, what the fuck am I doing on this set? And Hogan is just shocking. He's not an actor. He's fucking bobbins, absolutely bobbins. But I'd probably say I may watch this again, Dave. I'm saying may. I'm not saying I will, but I say I may watch it again. So I'm going to send it to Elm Street. It's not absolutely horrendous. And just knowing that everyone's going to have to watch this, Dave, if they want to, like, you know, listen to us, not necessarily going to have to, makes it even better. And it's on YouTube, which says it all. So what are we saying, Dave?
Well, I do think you are right. I think I am battle worn. I think shark tooth infested. Or something, shark's guard. I didn't hate this. I think it's slightly better than Ultimate Weapon. Ultimate Weapon was worse than this for me. And I don't know if it was just purely a bias from the Arnie wig. He'd clearly gone for the Predator look, you know, the Dutch look in that one. And this one, I'm not sure he suits the kind of long hair either. But it's just something about it that is a little bit better. The plot is ridiculous, as generic as you like, with massive leaps from, you know, in terms of why the characters would do what they do. And yeah, none of it really makes sense, but the action isn't that bad. I have to say, though, we've called out the fight with Billy Blanks at the end went on for way too long and wasn't that good at that, but you know, maybe they just had lots of footage. Maybe it was in Billy Blanks' contract or something. I don't quite know, but that bit didn't land for me. I'm not going to be watching this anytime soon. But yeah, I think it's an Elm Street for me as well. I don't think it's so bad. It's great. You know, it's great. But I think it's, you know, it is on that action movie scale. And so for just a generic, ridiculous, straight-to-video or straight-to-TV action movie, I don't think it's terrible. So yeah, it's not quite wound me up as you might have been planning, but I do think that is probably because we've had a few years of these shocking movies, and so I'm kind of calibrated to it now.
Well, we will see, Dave. We will see. So I say this, I don't even know what you've picked for next week, Dave. So it's your pick. What are we going to watch, Dave?
Well, I must admit, Chris, a few minutes into this, I wasn't quite so diplomatic. And I hadn't quite come to peace with the with what this was going to be. So obviously, you know, you sprung this on me last week and I was like, fucking hell. And then when the movie starts off and you've got Hogan doing his Tai Chi, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm in for a ride here. You know, so I started Googling, right, what are great movies in the same year? So 1997, because there must have been some really top movies. And I thought, you know what, we'll go for something which also has Devil in the title. Totally planned that. Chris, I am going for an iconic movie starring Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves and Charlize Theron. And Chris, it is the 1997 The Devil's Advocate. Now let's get into the trailer.
A young attorney has the chance of a lifetime.
Milton Chadwick Waters, we want you to come to New York. All expenses, first class, travel and lodging, you and your wife.
Oh, Mr. Anderson.
He will enter a place of wealth and ambition.
We've got 40 partners vested at the moment. In addition to our corporate clients, we're currently representing about 25 foreign countries. He's got you scheduled for 15 minutes, so make the most of it.
John Milton.
Kevin Lomax.
Well, what's that like? One day you're putting him away, next day you're setting him free.
Takes a little getting used to.
Pays better, though, doesn't it?
Welcome to Babylon, Ma.
Speak of the devil.
I'm not sure about Keanu's accent, to be honest.
No. Seduction.
No.
Who's that with the senator?
Controlled by one man.
I swear he can hear us.
Hell, he can smell us.
He will make your dreams come true.
Want to come upstairs and
Charlie, try it on.
He will grant your fondest wish.
I'm just warming my hands on your talent. You know what I see? I see the future of this law firm.
He knows your greatest fear.
Milton is into everything. Arms brokering, chemical weapons, toxic waste, money laundering for the Eastern Bloc. I mean, it goes on and on.
I don't like it here, Kevin.
And he knows the price of your soul.
Let's make a beef.
Who are you?
Oh, he's brilliant.
I have so many names. I'm here on the ground with my nose in it since the whole thing began. God likes to watch. He's an absentee landlord.
Keanu Reeves.
He's always been there. I know that now.
Al Pacino.
As God sleeps late.
We will win.
It's my time now.
The Devil's Advocate.
Tell you what, Chris, I have not watched this for years, but that trailer, you know, this was when this was on video around 98. I was in Blockbusters doing a lot of shifts because I was fucking skint, and that trailer has just given me a little bit of fucking PTSD. You say with the Blockbusters videos, I think I can't remember, were they on a loop for every hour or it might have been 2 hours, but you know, if you're on for an 8 hour shift at the weekend, that's fucking a number of times that you're listening to that, because they don't just play the adverts once as well within that 2 hours, they play multiple times. Or I say play as if Blockbusters is still a thing now, but yeah. So you've seen this one, have you, Chris?
I don't think I have. I think I'm thinking of the one where he plays the blind guy, you know, with that's a completely different movie, but Al Pacino.
Right.
I don't think I've seen it.
Scent of a Woman, I think.
Scent
it was.
Of a Woman, yeah. I don't think I've seen this one, Dave.
Oh, wow.
I don't think so.
I haven't seen it for years. Now I'm slightly nervous when this happens and you haven't seen it before and I come back to it, and there are certain things that don't age well, but I've got a feeling, you know, this one will age quite well. But let's see. I used to love this one. I mean, it's quite haunting as well in a number of ways, but I one of my favorites from late 90s, this one.
Let me see, Dave, how we do. Because I would have been with Sam in 98, so I never would have rented this. The only way I'd watch this was with my granddad, because he used to love Al Pacino with the gangster movies and all that. So maybe I don't remember, because I wouldn't remember Keanu Reeves properly until The Matrix, really, because I never was a big fan of Bill and Ted. So, Point Break, I would have, but yeah, I wouldn't have.
Bill and Ted's?
No, I'm never a fan of Bill and Ted's.
Noted.
Yeah, fine. I couldn't have said anything. But anyway, but Dave, so I always say each week, if you want to email us, you know, at thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com, and we always get someone asking, can we have surfing lessons, karate lessons, whatever. We have had a few emails, but we've actually had an email, Dave, from a listener. Nice. He's over in Perth, Western Australia. It's a great email. So he says, hey, Chris and Dave, just a not-so-brief note to let you guys know your show is absolutely brilliant. I actually stumbled across it accidentally. I had just finished the Video Archives podcast with Quentin Tarantino and Roger Avery and was looking for something similar. Well, that's nice. In high esteem, your film selection and sense of humour banter between each other instantly struck a chord with me. I'm of a similar age, born in 1980, and clearly I've had a similar upbringing. The video store was my second home growing up in Perth, Western Australia. Arnie, Stallone and Van Damme were basically my babysitters through my developing years while my parents were at work. Essentially, I was into anything martial arts based, but action movies in general were my go-to. I also dread to say it to you guys, but I was always a fan of Cynthia Rothrock films. Saying that, I can't really say why. She was just popular in our household growing up. And then he's put in brackets, she has aged quite well, though, as I've heard you say.
Don't disagree.
Yeah. No comment. I had honestly forgotten the name Lauren Avedon until hearing your review of King of the Kickboxers. And suddenly memories came flooding back at this film and the No Retreat, No Surrender sequels are all amazing in the so bad they're good category. I also have a good laugh when Chris's shoulder injury sneaky press-up stories come up mid-review. Seriously, you guys are hilarious, and the show has reignited my love for 80s and 90s movies. Long story short, your show has become the soundtrack to my daily work commute. Thanks very much, and keep up the great work. Kind regards, Miles. And then he's put, P.S., I'm not sure of its availability. For something I think will be right up your alley is a 1985 film called L.A. Street Fighters, a.k.a. Ninja Turf, starring Philip Ray and Jun Chong. Both are in another classic film, Best of the Best. Special mention goes to Bill Superfoot Wallace scenes inexplicably voice dubbed. It was a repeat rental for my local video store. So absolutely brilliant email. Thank you for that, Miles. We love reading stuff like that, Dave. It's great. I mean, even when we get the reviews, when they go rubbish, like,
yeah,
you know, we're at nearly 30,000 views for No Shit, No Surrender 3. It's gone up again.
Oh, my word.
And we're still getting comments about you talk too much, you know, what ruining the movie or whatever. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. So there's some with that algorithm. Him, he's just going crazy for No Retreat, No Surrender 3. I watch along.
What a bizarre thing. I mean, we have no idea how to do that, to make people watch movies or catch the algorithm in the right way. But yeah, clearly something's worked right there. But what a great email. And how have we not done Best of the Best, by the way?
I know. I've loved that film. Eric Roberts. Yeah, I've had that a few times. I don't know.
Maybe
I'll put it on the list, Dave.
Later in the year or something. But yeah, no, amazing email. And Chris, have we ever had an email? Well, you don't get many emails anyway, but have we ever had an email calling out, you know, Lauren Avedon? I don't think we have. You've been on a one-man mission to resurrect his career. And don't forget, Chris, you know, the follow-up to No Retreat, No Surrender 3, where the cash is going to be flowing in, according to Lauren Avedon, might be there if they can just find a producer who's following Lauren Avedon on Instagram.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave, if they need a Gobby Mancunian who is now back in shape tattooed up, ready to fucking take some of Lauren's fucking kicks and that, I'm happy to go in there as fucking Franco's fucking son. I'll dye my hair blonde and everything. I don't mind doing that, Dave. I'll go straight in. Don't expect any kicks. I'll just do a lot of punches and a lot of falling over. But if you want
to... I'd be like, oh, my back. But what they'll do if they follow the the likes of the Last Kumite, and
yeah.
Cynthia Rothrock's done a few of them where they'll set up Kickstarters. So at a certain level, you can be a background actor or something, or you pay a bit more, you can even be in a fight with someone. So I imagine they'd do something like that. But I'm not holding my breath. Like I say, you don't generally get producers just scrolling Instagram, but
let's see. How fucking dare you? So if you want to I've already said that, if you want to email us, please get on your podcast catching app and drop us a review if you can, guys. We really appreciate it. We read them out, good and bad. If you want to follow us on social media, at VHS Strikes Back. If you do want to support us a little bit more, get over to patreon.com/the VHS Strikes Back. And a massive thank you to everyone who supported the podcast, past and present. We really appreciate it. So the roll call of honor for today is, and a big thank you to Mr. Mike Burton, Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Heath, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green, Herb, Jack, Maths, Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Farina. So amazing stuff, guys. Thank you so much. And it's been amazing. And I'm not going to carry on talking, Dave, because I know there's no dialogue. But what are you going to take us out with today?
You bastard. I had one a second ago. Well, Chris, I do like a crappy Australian accent. And I have to say, my Christopher Lambert one isn't bad. But the Australian ones are genuinely terrible. It's not false modesty there. But I still can't resist him. So, God rest his soul, but, old Fraker there came out with one of the two quotes that are on IMDb. So I'm just going to nab the first one and say, I want my payment in cash, diamonds, and a large whiskey.
I remember that line.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, sir. Well, I don't know why I'm saying that after you picked this fucking film, but thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back. Because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's not.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ah! Ah! Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right.
Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on. Ain't so bad. Ain't enough. Come on.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
You're crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months. Come on.
I must break you.